Let's talk a little bit more about Dr. George King, because his name is going to come up time and time again tonight. What got him psychically gifted?
Well, he was actually psychically gifted as a child and had quite amazing healing experiences, even as a 10-year-old. He was an extremely unusual person who really from childhood had extraordinary abilities. And not only psychic abilities, he was extraordinary in his interest in everything that came his way. Extremely diligent, hard-working individual, but very grounded at the same time, which is an unusual combination, as I'm sure you'd agree, George, to find people who are highly psychic, but also extremely practical. And he had those two qualities combined in one person. He turned, and we're now talking, he was born in 1919, and of course it wasn't long before the Second World War broke out. He was only 20, and he was a section leader in the fire service here during the Blitz, a very dangerous time, of course, in London. But he turned to yoga then, I mean, years before it was fashionable or really known about too much. There were great pioneers bringing it out of India, like Swami Vivekananda and others, but it was an unusual thing for a young man to do. But you used the word obsessive. He didn't just turn to it. He went for it 8 hours a day for 10 years on top of a job. And so he was a very – I haven't actually come across anyone who's even claimed to have been that diligent, certainly in the West anyway, about yoga practice. And so, of course, he got results. And that's the reason. People often say, well, why George King? Why was he chosen? Well, he's never said he was the only person who was chosen, but he was certainly a unique person with a unique role. And that's why, because he had this extraordinary quality, and he dedicated himself completely to spiritual practice, heightened his consciousness above what you might call the normal psychic level, and was therefore usable by cosmic beings. They could contact him. He could reach the level of consciousness that was required by them.
Now, this contact, were other people witnesses to many of the things that had happened to him?
What he used to do when he started the Aetherius Society in England in the 1950s was go to a very well-known hall in London called the Caxton Hall, a place called Westminster, not far from Parliament over here, and he used to, in public, go into a deep state of trance, which is not the sort of typical trance used by mediums. A much more elevated trance, if those who are familiar with yoga will have come across samadhi, and it was a samadhic trance involving using a thing called the kundalini and other forces, which we can talk about if you're interested.
Sure.
Or if people are interested. But in that state of trance, he would bring through communicators. One of them was called Aetherius, hence the Aetherius Society, mm-hmm. the Master Aetherius. There would be communicators from Mars, and these would be heard by hundreds of people live. Now, some of those were extremely provable because, for example, he would get forecasts of UFO activity. So he would, or these communicators would say, in September the 11th or something like this, 1956, there will be UFO activity over part of Peru or a part of Sydney, Australia, or whatever it might be. So it could be verified. Independent witnesses would see these UFOs. They wouldn't have even known that they'd been predicted. And he got a lot of verification that way in the early days. The other thing he used to get a lot of information about was the dangers of nuclear experimentation. And, of course, we all know now, I don't think anyone would dispute it now, but it was very disputed in the 1950s. Some of the information he got was absolutely provably correct. Some of the facts he got about the dangers in causing leukemia and causing mm-hmm. cancer and so forth, but also specific locations. I mean, for example, he pinpointed a Russian atomic accident in 1958 that wasn't revealed till 18 years later by the Soviet Union.
Was he ever told of any past nuclear wars or dangers that might have been on this planet thousands, if not millions of years ago, Richard?
Absolutely he was. Yes, he very much so. He was told that there were two great civilizations on this planet before the one we're in now. And these are known about, for example, in Theosophy and some other writings. The first one is often called Lemuria. Some people call it Mu.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one, of course, very well known, was Atlantis. And he was talking millions of years here, whereas some people will try to put Atlantis at sort of 13,000 years ago. That's another civilization. That's not the Atlantis that he was referring to. What he did, though, which was different from, I believe, any teachings that had gone before him, as far as I know, was that he said that these were destroyed by atomic war. And, in fact, if you look at some of the old Hindu scripts, the Ramayana, some of the accounts, or even something like Sodom and Gomorrah, you can see that these could have been, and I believe were, accounts of nuclear fallout in earlier civilizations. And people often point to things like the flood that Noah's associated with and so forth as being an effect of this. And, of course, the great message that the cosmic masters, as we call them, were bringing through Dr. George King was to say, don't do this again. Don't let it happen again, because it could happen again. And especially when they first started to communicate in 1954 onwards was a very dangerous time, because people didn't appreciate the terrible dangers of nuclear experimentation.